Harry in Newton-Orange. Morning, Harry.
Good morning, Stephen. I just wanted to pick up on a few points about the debate here.
Can you get your head around all of this?
Well, I think I can, Stephen. I mean, can I just make a few very quick points and I'll be very brief and to the point?
Yes.
First of all, the two of the most successful economies in Europe are the Norwegian and the Swiss. Norway's number two and Switzerland's number three. And they're not in the EU. Second point, both Norway and Switzerland have land borders with European countries. Norway with Sweden and Switzerland with France. That hasn't caused any big issue. Thirdly, I have a good friend who's a Norwegian, and he told me that some years ago, I think it was 1995, a referendum was put to the Norwegian people, did they want to join the EU? And he told me, he says, every Norwegian political, you know, major political leader and the media was bombarding people with scare stories and telling them that their economy would collapse and 100,000 people would lose their jobs if they refused to join the EU. Their people voted not to join the EU, and they're thriving, and they're the number two economy in Europe. And the last thing,
counter argument, Harry, is that it's a leap in the dark for this country at an uncertain economic time.
But they're saying, you know, we don't know. I mean, I'm just, that's a near neighbour of ours, and you know, look at the example. Their economy has thrived. They have control over their fishing fields. There's no Spanish trawlers allowed to fish in their waters. Their fishing industry thrives. You know, they're able to export fish to the UK, while our fishing industry has been decimated.
Harry, thank you. Roy Antrim. Morning, Roy.
Good morning, Stephen. No offence to you, Stephen, but that Sammy Wilson, that old gentleman, was on talking. They were like the image of the Muppet Show that sits at the top of the stage.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, they were like the two Muppets that definitely were. I'm a pensioner, right? I'm 70. And all this talk about is money. Who for? It's not for like me. It's not for an ordinary working class person. When I listen to your radio every morning, and that was horrendous. Sat there with Sammy Wilson, that old gentleman of his own.
What way are you going to vote?
What way am I going to vote? I'm going to vote for the stay out. If they talk like that, if they're in Euro, what are they like? What's it going to be like if we're not in it or we're in it?
Okay.
You know, that's the way I look at it,
Roy, thank you. And look, there's so much fighting between the two sides now, and you don't see that any more than in the actual Conservative Party itself, a party which often will try to at least have the pretense of remaining united, is absolutely fighting tooth and nail with itself. The Prime Minister being publicly taken on by some of the people who he appointed into posts, the likes of Michael Gove, the likes of Boris Johnson, for goodness sake, his cabinet. And this has angered John Major, former Prime Minister, obviously. He has described the Leave campaign as fundamentally dishonest, squalid, frankly fatuous, a deceit. Some of the words that he used to describe the Leave campaign. Remember, key members of that group are Boris Johnson, Ian Duncan Smith, Michael Gove, all former colleagues. And here's the rub. They're still in the same party, the Conservative Party, as Sir John.
I am angry at the way the British people are being misled. This is much more important than a general election. This is going to affect people, their livelihoods, their future, for a very long time to come. And if they are given honest, straightforward facts and they decide to leave, then that is the decision the British people take. But if they decide to leave on the basis of inaccurate information known to be inaccurate, then I regard that as deceitful. Now, I may be wrong, but that is how I see their campaign. And this is so important. For once, I'm not prepared to give the benefit of the doubt to other people. I'm going to say exactly what I think. And I think this is a deceitful campaign. And in terms of what they're saying about immigration, a really depressing and awful campaign. They are misleading people to an extraordinary extent.
Well, let's move to immigration, if we could. When you were Prime Minister, I think when you left, immigration was still below 50,000, more or less, 48,000, yeah. Something like that. It's now a third of a million and rising fast. It's not racist or xenophobic to be really worried about that, to be worried about the effect
No. Schools, I'm worried about it. Everybody hospitals. Is worried about that.
But your side don't seem to have an answer.
Well, I don't think they have an answer. We'll come directly to that if you wish. Let me take the immigration point absolutely head on. Yes, immigration is very high, and yes, this causes great troubles for us, not only for us, but all across Europe. Half the world is on the move at the moment because of what is happening in North Africa and the Middle East, because of fears about Russia in Eastern Europe, because of the economic difficulties within the Eurozone. There are a lot of people on the move, and they come here because we are a great and successful country. The nonsense we hear from Leave about let's get our mojo back and be a great country... We are a great, successful country. That is why people are coming to us. But now, how long will this last? It is a serious problem. You are going to see a diminution as the Eurozone recovers. It is recovering. It's now growing pretty much as fast as us in the Eurozone. But it isn't just us. But the point that really angers me is the utterly false suggestion, repeated more than once, not in a single... offhand remark, but in scripted, carefully prepared speeches, that we face the risk of 88 million Turks coming here. Now, firstly, Turkey are not in the European Union. They are unlikely to be in the European Union in the next decade or two. Even if by some chance they were, we are outside Schengen.
Right.
And in any event, in any event, is it seriously suggested, as they do, that all 88 million Turks would come here?
Well,
apparently, for our higher... national living wage. On the one hand, they say migrants are depressing wages, and on the other, people are flooding in to get our higher national wage. It's nonsense.
Let's be clear, Sir John.
Nonsense on stilts.
So that's Sir John Major talking to Andrew Marr yesterday. Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Hello. No, I just listened to the debate this morning and heard to John Major, and I think John Major's right. But what took me this morning was whenever Sammy Wells was challenged with $350 million, you come on about income tax and you don't count this and you don't count that. If I was to buy a car and I got a 30% discount and I was asked how much the car cost me, I wouldn't quote the list price. And that's basically what he's doing. He's one of these people who, when they buy a new sofa and its list price is $3,000, they tell the neighbours it's cost them $3,000, whereas in reality they got it for half price. He's trying to fool us. And I think I'd be voting to stay in. I think whenever somebody's trying to argue to change the status quo and change something, they have to be the ones to come up with the facts.
Well, to be fair to Sammy Wilson, both sides are bandying about figures all over the place, and I'm not sure how much anybody can stand over a lot of the figures that we're hearing. Alan in Ballycastle. Morning, Alan.
Hello, Stephen. How's it going?
Good morning.
Yes, sir. The talk about uncertainty... what will happen after we vote to leave on the 23rd of June. Everybody seems to forget about the Lisbon Treaty and the provisions in it. For a start, whenever we do vote to leave, as hopefully will happen, the status quo continues for 2 years. During that 2 years, members that decide to leave the Union, there's negotiations as to what the post-EU relationship is going to be like.
Earlier we heard the former Prime Minister, Sir John Major, who attacked fellow Conservatives yesterday on the Andrew Marr show. Sir John, who wants Britain to remain in the EU, said he was angry at the way voters were being misled. Speaking on the BBC's Andrew Marr show, the Brexit campaigner Boris Johnson hit back.
We've got a very short time now to go until this referendum, and I think what people want to hear are the arguments. And what we're setting out on the Leave side of the campaign is, I think, an agenda for the government to take back control on June the 23rd of a lot of things that really matter to the people of this country. So, yes, there's the money, not an insignificant sum. Yes, there's our borders, but there's also very, very important aspects of our economic life that invisibly we can no longer control. And we want to take them back, and we think it would be great for our country and great for democracy.
Well, I want to get into the details of all of those things later on, if I may. But nonetheless, Sir John, following Chris Patton, following Michael Heseltine, and others, they've all had a really, really personal go at you. Is this because they're trying to take you out?
Whether it is or not, I think that... I'm rather with John McDonnell this morning, who says...
Really?
Yeah, well, he says...
Unlikely.
He says that there's too much of this sort of blue-on-blue action, and what he wants to hear is the arguments, and that's where I am. If we take back control, let's go into the money side of it. If we take back control of that money, we talked about the 350 million. You heard earlier on how that 350 million figure is fictitious.
Squalid.
Actually, it's squalid or whatever.
Yeah.
Not true. Look at it. Imagine I give you three. I take out my wallet, which I don't actually happen to have on me, unfortunately. But I gave you. If I had £350,
and
I gave you £350,
and I give you back 80, and then next year,
now next year you gave me back 60 or so. Then you decided that you were going to spend some of it
on my behalf.
Thank you.
Get your
haircut. On whatever priorities you chose. They might not be my priorities. You decided you're going to spend it on what you thought were good things for me, and then you gave about half of it away, and we never saw it ever again.
But
would say, and they'd be absolutely right, that we had lost control of that 350 million. And it's totally wrong.
You get a lot back in your pocket. You get a lot back in your pocket, just as farmers do, just as universities do. Lots of organisations in this country,
absolutely.
That money comes back to them.
And the point that we're making is that we would have
is that Westminster should stop
more,
that, being able to stop that happening.
We'd have a lot more back, £10.6 billion a year net back. And all we're suggesting, humbly and respectfully, to the government is that, yes, they could spend that on one nation policies for the good of this country, such as on the National Health Service, for instance, such as on cutting VAT on the cost of fuel for elderly people, which is a huge burden, and which we currently cannot do because of our membership of the EU. Invisibly, many aspects of our life are now controlled from the EU, from abroad, from Brussels, in a way that I think is anti-democratic. At the heart of this campaign, coming to the second big charge against us, which is that we're talking too much about immigration and all that, for me, this is a question of democracy. It's about public consent and explaining to people. And at the moment, we have absolutely no power to control our immigration policy.
OK, so very quick-fire question in that case. Do you want to see immigration come down in this country?
I think I would like a situation where the government was able to fulfil its pledges to the people. And if it is going to say that immigration is going to come down to the tens of net immigration from the EU, it's going to come down to the tens of thousands, then it should be in a legal position to deliver that.
That's Boris Johnson on Andrew Marr yesterday. Joe Banbridge. Morning, Joe.
Morning, Steve. No, can I just say a few words?
Yes.
All this in or out about the EU, it's all about big business talk and this and that. But nobody seems to mention ordinary people in Glasgow and Birmingham and Cardiff and Belfast and London. All rich people use private hospitals, all rich people use private schools, and all rich people buy their own houses. The poor people can't get houses, they wait for years. The poor people can't get schools for their children, and the poor people can't get medical appointments whenever they need them. The poor have watched all their jobs go to foreigners, the poor have watched all their jobs working for less pay. It's time that we got back to ruling our own wee country, and it should be proud to say that if you live in Italy, be proud to look after Italians, but if you live in Britain, look after the British people.
So
you have to bring in foreign nurses to work here, I'm glad to do a good job in foreign doctors.
So you're clearly a leave man, Joe. Let's see what Eddie is. Last call of the day. Morning, Eddie.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead. One minute.
I just can't believe that people are voting leave on this basis alone. None of us have a clue what we're voting about. Let's face it, right? And to vote leave.
All these hours and hours of BBC coverage trying to help you understand what's happening. None of us have a clue.
Silly claims, even sillier counterclaims. But it's like, honestly, it's like jumping blindly over a cliff and hoping there's a trampoline at the bottom. I mean, nobody knows what we're getting into. And just a final thought, if I might, if this goes through. In the next year, we could have the fingers on the nuclear button. Trump, Putin, Kim Jong-il and Boris now.